There's probably a place where everybody feels at home. It might be a library, might be a farm, might be a church, might be this church. The place that I felt at home in my life the most was at a monastery. For 9 years, I was either a student or a teacher at St. Meinrad Monastery in southern Indiana, Benedictine Monastery. And I made a lot of friends there. And one time, one of the monks told me a story about an old monk. His name was Father Pascal, who was almost blind and very deaf. That's important. Almost blind and very deaf. He started doing something that surprised the other monks, but being monks, they didn't say anything to him. Monks mind their own business. He would eat a little bit of his dinner, then he would put the rest of the food in his pockets. Sausage, mashed potatoes, cake, meatloaf, salad, lemon meringue pie. Benedictine monks eat very well. And then he would leave. Most of the monks assumed that he went to his room to finish his meal. Typical older introvert thing to do. However, one monk, the one who told me the story, was suspicious. And so followed Father Pascal to his cell. That's what monks call their room. And my friend cracked open the door and was astonished at what he saw. What he saw was an enormous rat coming in the window and taking a seat on Father Pascal's lap. Then Father Pascal proceeded to feed the rat the food that he had spirited away from the dining room. All the time he fed the rat, the monk stroked its head and back, murmuring, "Nice kitty. Sweet kitty. My little angel, my angel of a kitty." My friend said that the rat ate contentedly and looked so grateful to be loved tenderly by a human being. Now, this little story is really a parable about how God sees us. And how we see ourselves. We think we're rats. It's the sad lie we tell ourselves and about other people. If you really saw beyond this rugged body and charming presentation, inside you would see a rat. Sneaky, conniving, cowardly, mean. If you really knew me deep down, you would recoil as if you had met a rat. Yet Jesus, Father Pascal, in this story, is blind to our rat-like self-image and deaf to our ratty accusations of ourselves and of others. We're not rats in disguise. We're angels in denial. But we don't challenge the rat. We decorate the rat. Human beings are into pretending. We might say that if we make up on the rat, she'll be beautiful. Or if the rat will drive a Lexus, he will be confident. Or if the rat has a diploma, he will be wise. My rat was ashamed, so I wanted to become a priest rat and be respected. Sure enough, at first it seemed to work. I'd walk into a room and everyone got quiet. Some people would look up, other people would look down. Or in the hospital, people got busy and stopped having conversations. What I came to find out was that people were afraid. They were afraid of me. Once I got stopped by a policeman. When I was a priest, I enjoyed speeding. Seeing the shock on the cop's face when it was a priest. Jesus with a lead foot. One time, late afternoon on a Monday, I got stopped and the policeman was more candid than usual and said that he was afraid to give me a ticket. And I decided to be more candid than usual and ask him why he was afraid. He said that I was God's special representative doing God's work, and that if he gave me a ticket, it could go against him on Judgment Day. Or, and I could see this was more the case, something bad might happen to him or his family if he made God mad. God the Father was really the Godfather. And I was Tommasino Beccarini. The Holy Hood of Louisville, Kentucky. So I took a deep breath and novel idea and decided to tell him the truth of what I believed. I said, "Officer, look, you not giving me a ticket is not going to help you with God, and giving me a ticket is not going to hurt you." He looked a little shocked. Then he looked relieved. And he said, "Okay, Father, we don't run radar on Tuesday afternoon, so you can go as fast as you want one day a week. And all the other days, you can go 10 miles an hour over the speed limit, and I won't stop you. Any faster, you'll be looking at a ticket." Then he grinned at me and said, "Bless you, Father. You be careful." But he still didn't give me a ticket. Old habits die hard. Now, you could say that I was stupid and he was simple, but I'd say we were both, for a moment, angels no longer in denial. I wasn't playing the priest game. He wasn't playing the cop game. We had, as we heard last Sunday, a courageous conversation. Most of the time, we don't challenge the rat we think we are because we figure we can improve on it, make the rat pretty or rich or wise or respected. But the makeup runs when we cry, the Lexus stops running when we least expect it, and no diploma can teach you the wisdom of the human heart. And respect, to be honest, is more often about someone being afraid of you than loving you. The rat cannot be made up, dressed up, fixed up, covered up, because there is no rat. There's only an angel in there with a lot of ratty thoughts about themselves. Paul Farina has said that human beings don't give up their solutions until they hit bottom. When at long last the rat can no longer be hidden, we notice that the rat isn't real. Now, there are some wonderful people who dare to come into the world without any hope of good disguises. No rat makeup, no rat riches, no rat diplomas. Joanne Donaldson, who had cerebral palsy, was just such a person. Everywhere she went, people looked embarrassed and uncomfortable, because Joanne was showing them who they were afraid they might be. She was curled up and bent forward, thin and sharp-faced. She looked a lot like a rat. She would tell me that she was the kind of person that hung around Jesus. I asked her what kind of person was that, and she said they were all people who were trying to be people. Everyone thought they were tax collectors, lepers, prostitutes, cripples, beggars, but they were all people, and Jesus confirmed it. Then she would tell me that I was one of the people. She thought I was a leper trying to be a person. She said people thought that I was a saint and she was an animal, the priest and the beast. I asked her what it took to be a person, and she said, honesty, which meant no faking it. I always had to take off my collar when we talked. And a refusal to be embarrassed. And I asked, how do I refuse to be embarrassed? She said, always be proud that I'm with you. When she died, I had her funeral. And the surprise was that so many who attended the funeral also had cerebral palsy. There's like a cerebral palsy club out there. It was all people, little rat-looking people. Singing was awful, but vigorous. Finally, I quoted Joanne. She used to have a quote that she'd give me. She was very passionate about this quote. And she'd say, bullshit. I'm not an animal. I'm a person. And I said that, bullshit. I'm not an animal. I'm a person. And what do you know? The whole church started chanting that. Bullshit. Not an animal. I'm a person. Whoa. Now, this was a very fancy church. They'd not heard talk like that. But it was like a beautiful, horrible hymn. I'm not an animal. I'm a person. Bullshit. Then at the reception, I'm standing there, and the whole bunch of wheelchairs comes around me. And they all look up at me, and their spokesman says, Father, you're one of us. I said, really? He said, yeah, you're one of us. And I just said, thank you. And I meant it. That was one of the best days of my life. I can be proud of that, I think. I remembered that they and I was an angel. Now, like we say in Unity, we are spiritual beings having a human experience. 30 years ago, had I stood before you as a priest, I would have referred to all of us as sinners in need of forgiveness. Today, I refer to us as angels in need of recognition. But how do you recognize the angel in the other? First, you must see them as perfect. Not perfect in behavior, not perfect in appearance, but perfect in being. You are surrounded right now by perfection. Next, never make an angel feel guilty. It wilts their wings, and they become enraged. So we must stop criticizing our fellow angels, including ourselves. Instead, bless them and be curious about them, for curiosity is at the very heart of love. Finally, there's a little rap song you can sing. I didn't say rat song. It's a rap song. I'll sing it to you, then you sing it back to me. Here we go. You're not a rat in disguise.
You're not a rat in disguise.
You're an angel in denial.
You're an angel in denial.
No need to weep, no need to fret.
No need to weep, no need to fret.
Remember who you are and smile.
Remember who you are and smile.
Let's meditate. Get comfortable in your seat. feet on the floor, head in the clouds. Now let go of all the self-evaluation you do with yourself. All the things you say about yourself that aren't good enough. I'm not this, I'm not that. I need to be more of this or less of that. You know how it goes. Let it go for just a few minutes now. So that when you think out of the other people in your life, think of their sweetness. Think of their angelicitude. Think of their beauty, their purity, and especially their good intentions. Give them the benefit of the doubt. And then with yourself, let yourself be gentle with yourself. Let yourself go. Let yourself be. Let yourself simply be the angel that you are. In silence now, sit with that angel and smile. And now slowly, gently, come back into the room. Come back into this place, this planet Earth, where appearances are often deceiving, where you can't tell a book by its cover, where there's much more inside than there is outside. And with the eyes of compassion and the eyes of love, look around now and notice that you are surrounded by angels. And they're right here.